Welcome to Mimesis, the podcast about all the twisted ways that art and life imitate each other. I'm Stacey Rourke.
And I'm Sandra Sheriff-Zachary.
And we're your hosts on this zany adventure. And I need to say, we're going to have a little bit of small talk. We're going to get caught up. But I just have to say, as of yesterday at this time, this would have been a rant.
Yeah.
We are talking Ed Gein today. I have very strong feelings about the new Ed Gein story, and we will be talking about all of that today. But first, what's up with you, ma'am?
Yesterday, my brain might have not worked. This weekend, I guess this past week, has been a whirlwind of activities. It's homecoming weekend, and we had like two birthday parties on top of that. So it's just been busy.
Okay. So then me needing an extra day to decompress from all things Gein.
Yes, it worked. Yeah.
Good. I don't feel so bad then.
So how are you?
I'm better now. Anyone that follows me on social media probably saw that a couple weeks ago, I sliced a good chunk out of two of my fingers.
Yeah.
You were asking me earlier how I did this, and I just decided I was going to wait and talk about it on the podcast.
I have text messages, like slight, like just a roundabout.
Yeah. And by the way, as I'm talking with my hand, you might like catch glimpses of it. I'm sorry. I know it doesn't look pretty, okay. But I don't like to wear my glove all the time because it's hot and sweaty.
Well, yeah, and you need to let it breathe and heal.
Exactly, exactly. I have to cover it when I'm at work, when I'm out in public, but when I'm home, I like to have it exposed because it's healing better. Anyways, I was at work, and one of the things that I have to do in my day job is hanging mirrors and artwork, and I wasn't even hanging anything in that moment. I was getting ready to. There was some holes in my marketplace walls where pictures had been sold or mirrors had been sold, and I just needed to put new product up on the shelf, make it look pretty. And one of the mirrors that we have, it has beveled edges all the way to the side. And like at the time, I didn't realize how uneven some of them were. Excuse me. But after my accident, I saw the mirror later. When two of the mirrors are supposed to come to a point, there was an overlap of like a quarter inch. Okay. So there was a chunk of glass sticking out like a quarter of an inch from that. And I didn't know it at the time. And all I was trying to do was turn the mirror to see the hanging hardware on it so I could see like how far apart it was, what I needed to hang it. That's all. I was just scanning for information at that point. And I just needed to turn it like a quarter turn, literally from like noon to 3 o'clock. That's all I needed to do to rotate the mirror. And in that small, simple move, I knew something really, really bad had happened. For anybody that is remotely squeamish, please. First of all, we're talking Ed Gein. Why the hell are you here? Second of all, this is going to get real gory, so I'm really sorry. But this is exactly what happened. I knew it was bad, but I wasn't able to look yet. I couldn't bring myself to look yet, but I was in the middle of the showroom floor, and I knew I was bleeding. I had my hand like in a fist at the time, so I didn't want to bleed across the showroom floor, so I just mashed my two fingers into my mouth. Ran to the bathroom. And by the time I got to the bathroom, it's a big showroom. There was enough blood in my mouth. I had to spit the blood into the sink.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I got a big wad of toilet paper and I pressed it to my finger as hard as I could, or my fingers as hard as I could to stop the bleeding. And I kept them over my head. And I went to the front office where all the managers and sales associates are. And I was like, hey, guys, if you guys could get me like a bunch of Band-Aids, that would be great. Because I just cut myself really, really bad. And they were like, are you okay? And I was like, I don't think so. I haven't looked yet, but I need like a lot of Band-Aids. I need a lot of Band-Aids. Like, this is where my thought was at. My thought was that this is, I cut myself, but a Band-Aid is going to stop this. So one of the managers came with me. He's trying to see if I'm okay. And at the same time, my SOA was upstairs. He's my assistant, or not my assistant. He's my partner basically on the showroom floor. And he was calling me to ask me something that was, I needed to make a decision about how something was laid out upstairs. And I was like, it's going to be a minute. I just cut myself really bad. And you know me. You know that when I'm panicked, like, I still talk like that. I'm like, it's going to be a minute. I over-explain. And he was like, how bad is it? And I was like, I haven't looked yet, but I'm having to apply pressure because it's bleeding a lot. And he's like, I'll be down in a minute. There's nobody else in the store. I went into the ladies' room. The sales manager would not come in, but my partner there at work, he knocked at the door. He's like, are there any women in here? I was like, no. So he came in and he's like, we have to look at it because we have to rinse it out and see. And I was like, okay, I will let you look. I'm going to look away. So I let it go for a second. I tried to let the water run over it. I couldn't. But it hurt so bad when I uncovered it because I could feel like it.
Yeah, pulsing.
Raw, exposed nerves, and it's bleeding. It's like gushing. So I was like, I'm sorry, I can't. So I covered it up again and I put it back over my head. And he's like, I said, if we could just get it, I can't believe I said this. I was like, if we could just get it to stop bleeding, I can put a Band-Aid on it.
So you're in shock.
Oh, it was setting in. I went into shock completely. So he was like, Stace, that's not going to stop bleeding. We have to go to the emergency room. So bless his heart, he got on the phone with our boss immediately. He was telling her what was going on, that, you know, we got to line up a workman's comp. Like, he oh, that's a jolly little tune. Is that Evan?
That's Evan.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he is fine. His blood sugar just went low.
Okay, so he needs a snack.
One moment.
Anyways, as I was telling you this story, I noticed I was holding my hand to my chest like I have been, like, protectively since all this happened.
Yeah.
But he was like, I'm going to take you to the emergency room. You can't drive yourself.
Okay, I have to ask, is it your right hand, like your dominant hand?
No, it's my left hand. Right-handed. Thankfully, oh, it's my left hand.
Goodness.
Because yeah. I would not be able to do anything if it was my right hand. I'm so thankful it was my left. But we were in the car ride there, and then shock really started sinking in. My teeth were chattering, yeah. And I got really nauseous. Thankfully, he had a bag in his car because I did get sick.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This was like the first day of our partnership too, so we like really kicked it off. Like, we were yeah. like in the trenches on day one. He was yeah. like, hold my okay, I'm this is about Ed Gein, and we're just totally going off in another way, but that's okay. We get to the emergency room. It turns out if you come into an ER actively bleeding, they'll get you back to a room really fucking quick.
Okay, good to know.
I don't advise it, but they do put you in a room really fast if you're bleeding a lot. So they got me back there. They were looking at it, and they said, we have to wash it out to see how bad it is. And they were like, we're not going to pour water over it. So what they did is they brought in a basin. And they brought in a big thing of saline solution.
Okay.
Salt water. Filled the basin up with salt water and betadine, and told me I had to immerse my hand in it and keep it there for 5 minutes.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. And when I put my hand in that salt water.
Did you scream?
I screamed motherfucker at the top of my lungs. My SOA is with me, and he was like, the nurse's station is right out there. And I was like,
I don't care.
They have heard worse.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So after they got it cleaned, they wanted to do an X-ray on it. And yeah. I'm actively bleeding. Like, the only way I'm getting it, it's still bleeding. It has not stopped. Oh, the only way that I can get it to not gush is to apply constant pressure. But they wanted to do the X-ray, which meant I couldn't apply the pressure. So they're having me turn my hand different ways. And as this is happening, I'm watching the pool of my own blood get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was apologizing to the people. Sitting here fucking bleeding out. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Do you have a paper towel? I'll clean that up.
Oh, what a people pleaser.
I'm so sorry. Are my bodily fluids leaking out of me and creating a mess? I'm so very sorry. If I could stop that, I would. Oh. So by the time, you know, as all this is happening, the doctor comes back in. Thankfully, he's like, all right, this is what's going to happen. We have to stop the bleeding. And I can't stitch anything shut because there's nothing there. There's nothing left. He was like, it's gone. What was there is gone. I was like, so there could be a piece of my fingertip back at the showroom floor. And he was like, I said it jokingly. I was like, and he was like, yeah, there could be. So the manager that was helping me, the sales manager was helping me. Feed that boy. Is he okay?
He's eating.
Okay.
This is the life of having a child with type 1 diabetes. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Scott has him.
Okay.
So I'm not worried about him and he's actively eating.
Okay. So I sent a message to the sales manager that had helped me, Oscar. And I was like, hey, so there might be a piece of my fingertip on the showroom floor. And he went over to the mirror that had cut me. And sure as shit, there was a piece of my finger left on the fucking mirror. You guys, that's so gross. That's so gross. That's so nasty. So
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, they were able to put these certain kind of Steri-Strip on there to get it to stop the bleeding. They wrapped my fingers. They injected me with lidocaine.
Okay.
So it numbed him up. So I was able to like breathe, calm down. I was good. Everything was getting better. I was getting ready for bed. I was going to go to bed and I just wanted to put a load of laundry in before I went to bed. And as I was leaving the laundry room, I just pulled the door shut behind me and I slammed my finger. The really bad one of the two. There's one that's really bad. My middle finger's really bad. Slammed it in the door. Ripped the bandages right off of it. Any lidocaine that was there was gone.
And it's absolutely
bleeding. It's bleeding just as bad as it was before again. When there is a certain feeling of having that like chunk cut away that like you just know there's something missing from your finger and it like,
yeah.
Oh. So I applied pressure. They had given me some of the tape and the gauze and stuff when I left the ER the first time. So I wrapped it as tight as I could and I was like, to Elliot, my oldest, I was like, you have to take me to the emergency room right now. You have to take me. So we went up there and there's a huge line.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Yeah, I'm not bleeding anymore. See, if I wouldn't have wrapped my finger, I probably would have been able to get back in. But because I wrapped it, I'm not actively bleeding. So they didn't rush me back. So I'm just sitting there and the pressure started to die down. Like I had wrapped it tight enough that I was able to catch it. And I do realize later that the Steri-Strip that they had put on to stop the bleeding, it had moved, but it hadn't come off.
Oh,
so
okay.
When I rewrapped it, I was able to seal it and we were good there. But so that and now I've just been on a journey with it of healing. I'm able to use it more now than I was. Like the first 2 weeks, I couldn't use my hand at all.
Oh, no, no,
no. And now I'm starting to. I still favor it a lot. I don't use my middle finger for a lot other than flipping people off.
Yeah.
I asked that in the emergency room. I was like, am I still going to be able to flip people off? So, yeah, that's what happened.
So I have to say, when it happened and you told me and like I was extremely worried for you and then you texted in the group chat and Nicole was like, I want to see. I was like, I don't know about this. And you saw a picture and I'm like, I scrolled all the way down so that way I just saw words and like, boop. Because I was like, I don't know if I can commit.
I can't do it. The one wasn't too bad, but the middle finger, like, it's bad.
Yeah,
it's bad. I sliced, like.
It almost looks like it went down to the bone.
It was close. And there was definitely nerve involvement. Like, when the Steri-Strip that was over it finally came off, because it had to come off on its own, the second the air hit it,
Oh yeah.
And even like day to day, like I get, if it bumps it, if anything touches it, it's just raw nerves right now.
And you're going to, it's going to take a while to heal.
Yeah.
It will.
Yeah. So I'm just going to look for festive gloves to wear in the meantime.
I'm so sorry.
Me too. That sucked. I do not recommend doing that.
No. Did they throw that mirror away?
That mirror,
like, you can't claim
been,
it. Yes. Like, you can't.
That mirror has been gone.
That's... I, you bled on something before and you're like, I claim it. It's mine now. This one, no.
And this one I broke the instant it happened, because the mirror was not broke when I turned it. But the second it cut me, I dropped it and it fell forward and broke. So it cut me and I fucking broke it in return.
I mean, I don't blame you. I probably would have done the same thing.
Stupid mirror. So that's what happened.
Dumb mirror.
Now, keeping the blood and gore going, we are going to talk about Ed Gein and the show that was just released, Monsters, the Ed Gein Story. Okay, so we're going to talk about Monsters, the Ed Gein Story with Charlie Hunnam. I have very many strong feelings about this.
I'm excited to hear, because I have some opinions on what I've seen so far. Like I said, it came out on the worst weekend possible.
I have been looking forward to this show for months. I even made some TikToks about it, which in my rage, I was so mad about this show, I deleted all of them. Like,
oh,
I broke up with this show. Like, I was like, we are never getting back together. Like, I was pissed. I did make myself go back and watch it again. I do see Ryan Murphy's vision. I will go into that a little bit more, but I was looking forward to this so much because, I mean,
we've talked about him.
Yes. We've talked about Ed Gein, and he was responsible for so many, you know, iconic film characters, and his own story had never really been told.
Right.
So I was so excited about it. And I was expecting this to be done the way that Dahmer was.
Yeah.
Dahmer was very historically accurate. Like, I've been wanting to do a mimesis about it, and I'm going to do a spoiler alert that there's very little that was shifted from that. It was very accurate, and it honored the victims in a real way, and... I was hoping to get the same thing with Ed Gein. I really was. And it's so not that at all. So I was pissed. I went back and watched it a second time. And before I go into all the things that were wrong, I see where he was going with. Because Ed Gein was schizophrenic.
Yes.
He didn't know what was real, what wasn't real. So for us to look at this depiction of his life and not know what was real and what wasn't real.
Yes.
I see what he was going for there. Ed didn't know. How are we supposed to know? I get that. However, key crucial things were changed that shouldn't have been changed, didn't need to be changed.
Yep.
You know, Ed Gein is interesting enough by himself. When you have a drawer full of dried out vulvas, you're interesting enough. Nobody needs to add anything more interesting to your life.
Yes. No.
We don't need a musical number. He had a chair made of nipples. We don't need to add any more spice to the top.
No.
So, that being said, let me get out my notes that I took as I went along. Here's the other thing. This series made me realize what a true crime nerd that I am, because there's been a couple stories now that we've done of these that all I needed to do was write down words and I know the story by, like, well enough.
Yes.
Good Lord. By the way, I've ventured back out into the dating world. And I have learned when you are talking to potential gentleman suitors, you need to stop talking about serial killer shit.
Because they all start looking like them.
I'll they'll say things like, they'll be like, can we meet up sometime? And I was like, well, first, let's get to know each other and make sure neither of us are a serial killer. Like,
I said that before.
Yeah.
I mean, that's common sense. Like,
I want to make sure you don't have a body in your trunk before we meet up.
I don't want you to kill me. Mm-hmm. I like me. I like my family.
I think it's a fair thing to ask.
Yeah.
I want to make sure you're not going to kill me. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when the series started, and I'm sure, you know, you and I have talked about Ed Gein enough to agree on this. When the episodes first started, episode one, I thought we were off to a strong start.
Absolutely.
It was very, very authentic. His relationship he had with Augusta, where she was very stern, very religious. His brother Henry, who hated the way that mother was. Yes. His dad, who was just drunk and shit-faced. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of that was very, very accurate. And
yes,
I will say, of my criticisms of the series, none of it is on Charlie. Charlie
oh, acted absolutely.
The shit out of this.
The soft spoke.
Yeah.
Everything he did. Like, he is an incredible actor.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, I'm not digging on his performance at all. Like, none of the actors, honestly. All their performances, like, every actor, actress performance, they're great.
Yes.
It wasn't them.
You're right. Right. It's the problem is not them.
No.
Yeah. And we're gonna naturally ease into that. So all of that had me really the Nazi propaganda that Ed saw, and all of that was accurate. Because you have to think, a schizophrenic mind can't tell the difference between what people should do and shouldn't do. They just see these actions of things that people have done. And so he sees a cartoon doing this. Okay, well, you can do that. So, and at the beginning, when he hits his brother and kind of laughs about it, because in the cartoons, you can hit somebody with something like that, they'll be little birdies over their head and they're going to be okay. You know, exactly. You can understand how a twisted mind
might perceive reality different.
Exactly. And then later is like, I didn't mean to do that. Like, so that makes sense. So all of that was accurate. And then they brought Adeline in. Ed Gein's bunny ears, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Ed Gein did not have a girlfriend. There was a girl that claimed, after everything came out about him, that she had been his girlfriend. But then when the details of all the twisted shit started coming out, she redacted that. Yep. I'm guessing she was looking for a little attention and then went, oh, I don't want to be connected to that kind of shit.
Right.
And backpedaled really quick.
Yep.
He didn't have a girlfriend. The rumor that I've heard, and I haven't looked into this too much, is that this character is supposed to be based on another female that existed like a town or two over around the same time period. If anybody knows anything about that, please let me know. I heard little snippets that maybe she was... But even then, she wasn't somebody that was connected to Ed Gein.
Yeah.
And one of the problems I had with the series is his relationship with her, because it blocks some of the journey that he went on that led to him becoming what he was, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you can't give him... One of the things that was the issue with Ed Gein is he had this mental illness, and anybody that cared and loved for him was suddenly ripped away from him. And he was just grossly alone with his own thoughts.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that what happened did. Whereas if you had somebody that was checking up on you, that was checking in, that was, it probably wouldn't have got as far.
It would root you to reality a little bit more.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's not the case of what happened with him.
No. And, you know, I've been preparing for the, because I want to, I'm pretty much ready to do the Dahmer episode, by the way, whenever you're ready. But I've been researching Dahmer too, and there's between Dahmer and Ed Gein, there is a period of time that's very significant to both of them becoming the monsters that they did. For Dahmer, it was when his parents were divorcing and mom moved away with his brother and dad was living in an apartment, and neither parent realized that Jeff was home alone for 3 months by himself at the, I think he was like 19 at the time, or 17 maybe. He was a teenager. So I think he was 17 because he was still in high school. But this is a boy that has, I don't know if he was ever just diagnosed with schizophrenia, but God knows Dahmer had enough mental illness of his own. He's left alone with his own dark thoughts for 3 months. And it's the same thing with Ed Gein. You have these dark thoughts rooted in a mental disorder and you're left alone with them for a period of time. And it molds them. It changes their thinking. Yeah. Because there's nobody, like you said, there's nobody to root you in reality. There's nobody to pull you back mm-hmm. and say, like, hey, yeah, right, little buddy.
Like, no, you're getting too dark.
Yeah, exactly. Let's step back from
the edge. It's like when you were writing that book.
Yeah.
And you were like, I need to write something light because I got really far into it.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I wrote Raven, because I was getting into the mind of Edgar Allan Poe, and I had to change my outlook. I had to do something light and fluffy, because when you let yourself slide down that, oof, no, nothing good comes mm-hmm. from that. So yeah, I had
Raven
a problem.
Was great. So
what?
I said Raven was great, so
go You're on, like, read that book. Can spiral every now and then and just pull yourself right back up. That'd be great. That's what writing is for me. I let myself spiral into madness for short periods of time and then I come back. Okay, so his brother's death, the way that they showed that, I didn't have a problem with that. Because we don't know for sure that he killed his brother, but it's always been kind of shrouded in suspicion. Yeah, we don't know for sure. There was only two of them there. I didn't have a problem with that one. What I did have a problem with was, again, the girlfriend that didn't exist. And I don't know. I don't think you've gotten to this point yet. Oh, before we even get to that, Ed Gein roller skating. Didn't need to see that. That was fucking weird.
No. Like, really? No.
Is this a rom-com? What are we... But I guess in that time...
That's where I think... Yeah. But, no. 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 I don't need to romanticize any of these people. No. I mean, it's hard enough seeing Charlie as... Ed Gein, but
in ladies' underwear, asphyxiating himself and jerking it.
No.
Oh, alrighty.
I was like, oh, Emma, you don't need to watch this.
It's really fun when your 19-year-old walks through the room at that time. Is that guy wearing ladies' underwear and jerking it? Yeah.
Yep.
All right. And then she just keeps going. That's how that went down. But then when they showed Adeline, she went into the house. She saw the nipple chair. And yet she goes back and, like, continues a relationship with this person. What?
Yeah, I haven't made it that far. Yeah, no. When she walked into the room after seeing the nipple chair and then being like, hi, Miss, I almost said Miss Dahmer. That's not right. Hi, Miss Gein. Like, and she didn't reply and she didn't move. I'd be like, nope, I'm out. Bye.
Easy. She's nipple dead. Chair. I'm going to go.
She's dead. I'm leaving.
That chair has a fucking nipple on it. No.
Yep.
The babysitting. Ed Gein did babysit for people around town. There were no reported incidents with anybody's kids. No, he actually had a good relationship with the kids. I think it's because he was kind of simple of mind.
Kind of a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was nothing. He didn't hurt any children that we know of. Again, Ed's reality might have been different. But he didn't have problems, but he did babysit for a lot of different families around the town. He did not kill the babysitter. And this is one thing in the series that I had a big problem with, because babysitter in the town did go babysit for a family, and then she did go missing. They never found out what happened to her, ever. But Ed was cleared for that. And whatever that means, I don't know. But it was investigated, and he was cleared of it. So in my mind, there's still a family out there that is connected to this young woman who they don't know what happened to her.
Doesn't have closure.
They don't have closure. And now there's this scene on this show of her and her underwear being tortured. And I had a really hard time with that, because if you don't think that family has already thought about a million different scenarios of what happened to that girl and prayed that they could reverse it, they have. That's something that haunts them. So they didn't need to see that. That didn't need to happen.
No.
Even, you know, if he wanted to imply it, it could have been a fade to black moment. Sorry, spoilers, but it alludes to there's a scene in Texas Chainsaw Massacre that was supposed to be inspired by that. Cut away a little sooner. Go to the scene with Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Let it be implied. We didn't need to see that. And that's not me being a prude. That's me respecting real people that were really affected by this.
Right.
Oh, the hardware shop owner. And again, you have not met her yet.
No.
They made it sound like she had this great love affair with Ed and that they were hooking up. It's implied. Well, they do hook up on the show. We see that. But it's hinted at that this is one of his visions, because when they're at a diner, a cup of tea or coffee is poured, and for a second the liquid turns green when he sees it. So it's kind of implied that this is a vision for him, that this isn't actually happening. Anyways, it's hinted at that it's all an illusion, but it's never clarified. And again, this is a real woman whose real family is out there. She did not have a romance with Ed Gein. She did own a hardware store. He did come into the hardware store the day before, or the day of hunting season. I think it was the day of hunting season. He did ask her to pull a gun down off the shelf. She did hand it to him. He had the bullets for it in his pocket. He loaded it. He shot her. The only connection that we really had between the two of them, other than he had come into the shop and shopped there, was that her body type was similar to that of Augusta, his mother. So her and the barkeep that he killed earlier, both of them had a physique that was similar to his mother's.
But isn't that the timeline that was backwards? Is that the barkeep was the one who died second, not first?
No, I do believe because the incident with the shotgun was the one that led to them investigating him further. So I think the bartender was first, or the bar owner was first. But I'm not if anyone listening to this knows for sure, but I'm fairly certain that the hardware store owner was second, and it led to his discovery of everything he'd been doing.
Okay, because I thought it was the hardware, because there was a truck and blah blah blah, and that's how he was caught. And I thought that's where they mixed it up.
I think the characters made it confusing.
Okay.
Because the hardware store owner, the way I've always heard about her, was more like the way they showed
the bartender.
Yeah. More stern and firm. And I think that's what confused it. But I think both of the women had that kind of nature and temperament. And the fact that they made one like this, like about town kind of girl, which, by the way, the fact that I just fucking said that, I've never said that term in my life. About town. What is what?
You've gone back in time.
I did. What? I don't know what that means, but there you go. Okay, so that one, he did chase a couple of guys off his property with a chainsaw. They did not stumble. And again, you haven't seen this in yet. There was a brief moment where they show that he's doing something horrific with some sort of corpse, and they walk onto him like with the chainsaw and this, and he chases them with the chainsaw. That didn't happen. And in the way that they show it, he pauses in the middle of chasing them to put on the face of one of the bodies that he pulled the face off of. No, none of that. He did chase people off his property with a chainsaw. The rest of it was all glamorized with.
But that's where they want you to put that connection, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, with him.
And I get that. And I would never, ever, ever criticize the genius mind of Ryan Murphy. However, from my own creative standpoint, I like to assume my audience is a little bit smarter than that. So if I have my character running at somebody with a chainsaw and then maybe cut to a scene from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they can put the connection together. They don't need him to put on a mask.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. Oh, and this is about the point as I was going through here, where I took the notes about there's a huge chunk in this series where it needed to be the part where you saw how lonely he was. And it's kind of leading up to when he's caught. And during that part, they really filled it with, you know, a romance between him and Adeline. And I wish somebody in the writer's room would have just erased that whole, like, show me how lonely he truly is.
Yeah.
Show me, like, him sitting there talking to, like, if none of that was real, if none of that was real at all, show me more flashes of him
right.
talking to a chair, talking to a corpse. It made it seem too filled, you know? It's,
yep.
There was too much involvement with people that could have noticed what was happening sooner.
Yeah.
For it to get to a degree of crazy that he got to, nobody was around that farm anytime for a long time.
Right.
So I just, and then later on they go to him when he's in the insane asylum, when he's, you know, in his 70s and whatnot. And they're talking about he was left alone with his thoughts. He was so lonely. And that's why this happened. But you didn't show us that. You showed
exactly.
us him having a full life in relationships and multiple relationships. Like, if none of it was real, I needed to feel a little bit. I needed to feel the loneliness, and I didn't feel the loneliness.
Yeah.
Because I honestly felt it more with Norman Bates. They showed it better in Bates Motel and Psycho of somebody who's truly alone with their own madness.
Yeah. And especially with the psycho. What's his name? The actor's name was like Anthony.
Anthony Perkins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like he seemed more alone than Ed Gein did.
Yes.
And they only showed him for a quick hot second.
Yeah. That part was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of that, if honestly, I want to research that more, because if Anthony Perkins really was that haunted by his, you know, everything he was going through, then that just breaks mm-hmm. my heart for him. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
If anybody knows a little bit more of that, please let us know.
Like, I pulled up a little bit of Anthony Perkins because I was like, I knew Alfred Hitchcock made the movie Psycho. Like, I knew that. So I was like trying to piece together the timeline of this happened, and within 2.5 years of him being caught, the movie came out.
Holy shit. I didn't realize it was that quick.
Yes. That's why I was like, how quick? Because I thought he was caught quicker than that because of the fact of how fast the movie came out.
Yeah. And for some reason, I thought it was like decades between when he was caught and...
Nope. It was 10 years. 1947 to 1957.
Holy shit. That's so quick.
Yep. 10 years.
Because nobody had ever seen or heard of anything like this before.
Yeah.
And it rocked the world. And that's why so many, because everyone was like, holy shit, people are capable of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where, like, remember we talked about, was it Amityville Horror? And how when people went to the movie and they like puked and whatnot, like they showed that at four, that people,
Psycho.
Yeah.
And that's because people were so sheltered at that time. And now look at the shit that we see every day.
Yeah.
And we're so desensitized to it. Like Ed Gein saw pictures from the Holocaust and it made him a monster. And we look at horrific graphic images every day and just scrolled right past it.
Yep.
That's interesting. That's fascinating and terrifying all at the same time.
Completely. It's weird how the mind works.
It really, really is. Oh, so yeah, I, for one, can say I did not need to see Ed have sex with a corpse.
Yeah.
Didn't need to see it.
I knew it was going to come and I'm just like, I'm going to skip over that part.
Yeah. Ed himself denied ever eating human flesh or having sex with any of the dead bodies. He said he didn't, and his reasoning was that they smelled too bad.
Which, yes,
that is one of the many reasons that's an icky no-no. I wish there was more that you had added to the list of other reasons you wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But as long as you found one, we're going to love it. But he says he never ate anyone. He says he never had sex with any of the corpses.
But did he really make a bowl?
Yeah. No, that was real. Yeah. Okay. He actually did make a bowl out of a skull.
So he ate out of a skull.
Yeah. Yes,
he just might not have eaten human flesh.
And a lot of times he just wanted the skin. Like there were times he would strip the flesh from the bone and put the bones back in the grave.
Yeah.
He just wanted the skin. And he used it for stuff. Why did he use it for stuff? Because he watched the Nazi comics of all of that where they were making the skin out of all of that. It was showing it on there, and again, couldn't tell fact from fiction. This is what we do. It's a whole thing. It was twisted.
Like you were on a farm, you could have made leather.
Yeah. That's a thing people actually do. And you could have made it lucrative. You could have like sold the leather. You could have you could have made bet. What if he used that talent and like made leather lamps, like nice leather lamps?
Yeah.
With a little guidance. Had there actually been a girlfriend, she could have been like, baby, listen, love you so much. That's gross. Stop digging up graves. Stop playing with corpses. How about we have some cattle? Let's use this one for meat, and you can use the hide for leather and turn it into something.
There you go.
We'll make this lucrative, but you know, stop desecrating graves.
Stop that.
This is not something that I want to do as a couple. I don't want to dig up graves. Yeah. So he didn't, as far as we know, and the other thing is, he admitted to a lot of stuff. He admitted to a lot of things. So you have to say, like, if this guy made vagina underwear that he stepped into so he could feel like a pretty girl, then I feel he would also be honest. You know, if he's going to tell you that, I feel like he would be honest about the other things too.
Yeah. And that's the question. Did he perceive himself as a female?
In some aspects, because he was schizophrenic. Yeah. And so I honestly believe one of his personalities was absolutely female.
Because like that was my question was, oh, he has split personality disorder where he is different people. And you would not remember certain things doing certain things because it's the other person doing it.
Yeah. And he saw things that weren't there. He mm-hmm. heard things that weren't there. He was diagnosed as schizophrenic.
Yeah.
So, and as he was in the insane asylum, he was given medications for that seemed to stabilize him. So,
right.
Which also just shows you how important it is for people to get the mental health that they need.
The mental health? The help?
Help.
I heard health. I was like, what?
Help. Mental help that they need. I did not know, and I actually want, I tried to look into this a little bit, but the fact that Ed Gein was like helped out in catching Ted Bundy, I had no idea about that.
Is it true?
Yeah. And apparently the guys that the same two detectives that the entire show Mindhunter was based on, that, you know, we've heard so much about, that they, you know, coined the term serial killers. They actually did go and talk to Ed Gein as well. So,
okay. So that kind of like is reminiscent on how, oh, what movie was that? Catch Me If You Can. I can't remember the person, but the guy who would rob and like all those fraudulent checks and whatnot, they went
Frank,
and asked for
Abernathy.
Yeah. They got his help to like, to get all the.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
And the guys from Mindhunter, they, you know, they talked to Charlie mm-hmm. Manson, they talked to Ed Kemper, they talked to Ed Gein, just to understand the minds of serial killers. And apparently Ed Gein helped catch Ted Bundy.
Okay.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
So my overall thoughts on it, I'm not going to give it a rating, because I think I'm still too angry to give it a rating. I wish it was less Hollywood and more accurate, like what Dahmer was. I see where Ryan Murphy was going with this. I can respect his vision. I would have liked it to be a little bit more true to the story.
Yeah, I can agree with that as well, of what I have watched so far. That I want it a little bit more historically accurate. Like, you can still, like the Dahmer one, because I've seen most of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can be done. And I understand we don't know as much about Ed Gein, but
yeah,
give us what was actually happening. You know,
yeah.
Don't give us this full life for him. He didn't have a full life. He was left alone with his madness, and that was the problem.
Yeah. Like, the problem that I have a little bit in the first few episodes is, when they switch over to the future, it's hard to decipher what's future, what's not.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, this is how they started Psycho. Oh, this is how they started this. Like, I need that clear cut.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. It's, and there were scenes where they were his Nazi comic book that he loved, when it just jumped into that world and you were left to try to figure it out. And I know Ryan Murphy loves to do that. He loves to leave people like trying to figure out where he is in the story.
Yeah.
But I felt, with as much as this one transitioned from one point to the other, a little bit more clarity on those jumps would have been nice.
Yeah.
Because
especially because you know that he's schizophrenic, to have the actual, I don't know, present day, what they were showing as present day with the creating the movies, like Alfred Hitchcock, like those scenes, a little bit more clear cut between those.
Yeah, some of them made no sense at all. There was one where all of a sudden the mom is chasing him with a knife at the top of the stairs, just like the one scene in Psycho. And it's like, what was that? Like, was that you just trying to show us that that's, this is tied to this? Again, give us.
And yes, I think that's exactly what they were trying to do, is like, this is exactly how this scene was in Psycho. This is how this scene was in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. This is how this was. And it just, it didn't come across as clear and cohesive as
right.
I think it could have been.
Yeah. And I feel like the one, like especially the scene with the mom at the top of the stairs, we didn't need that scene because we already know. Like, there's so much yes. of Ed Gein and Norman Bates and Anthony Perkins. Like, we didn't need it tied in anymore. We got it.
Yeah.
And that particular scene, it just confused it and it didn't need to.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, maybe the younger generation doesn't know that that is why things are based. Like, those movies are based on Ed Gein. But exactly. I was sitting here with two teenage girls. Like, one didn't know, the other one knew.
Yeah. But to go along with that, as him telling this story, okay, so you're explaining to a new generation who Ed Gein is. You just lied to them about the entire story. Now they're going to go to school and they're going to be like, he did this. No, he didn't.
No,
he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. That's actually not what happened at all.
Yeah.
And now, again, you're adding sprinkles on top of a story that did not need any more spice. It's weird enough on its own.
Yeah. Thankfully, sitting there talking to Emma, we were like, no, that really didn't happen. No, that's not. Or like, yeah, his mom actually had a stroke after the whole puppy thing.
Yeah. Yes. Another thing that I had a problem with was there's a scene where his dad hits his mom.
Yeah.
And his mom hits him back.
Yeah.
That's not what Augusta did. Augusta dropped to her knees, looked that man in the eye, and started praying to God to kill him dead right that moment. Like, out mm-hmm. loud, I pray for your death. I hope the Lord strikes you dead right now. Like, that was the kind of relationship they had. She didn't hit him back. She was bringing the fury of God on him. And apparently at some point it worked because I believe he died of like heart disease brought on by his drinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the only other thing that I would say that I didn't like is the timeline jumped so quickly. Like this, death, his mom, then this happened. It was spread out over 10 years.
Yes, it maybe take away the fake relationships that didn't happen and show us a little bit more of his life with them. I would have liked to see a little bit more of that because
like what got to the point, like show me like from when he was a kid, which they did. They did show a little bit of a kid.
But it needed to be more. It needed to be more.
Up until like we know what came after his mom and after the break.
Yep.
Show me what led to the break.
Exactly.
Show me that she was this mean, just
overbearing, God-fearing.
Yes. Like, show me how he became such a mama's boy.
Exactly. Because it changed it defined who he was for so long. You can't just show me this much of it.
No,
like
I
the
need
show Bates
more.
Motel, there were seasons and seasons. And that's what it takes. It takes a long time to manipulate somebody's mind like that. It's not half an episode worth.
No. No.
And I also see that he didn't want to do it like anybody else had done anything before.
Yeah.
And I get that. But I would have liked more accuracy
in
the history of it.
Yeah. And maybe that's the case. You don't know exactly how he was brought up like that, but you know the signs. You know the mama boy type.
Yeah. We do know he said that his mom told him that masturbating was preferred over ever having sex with a woman.
Yeah.
That happened.
No Jezebels. No. Yes.
Stay away from women. Women are bad. She would not let him have friends because they were all of the devil. Like, all of that really did happen.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to see more of that.
I agree. There's a couple episodes that they literally could have shortened into a snippet.
Yeah.
As his actual life was unfolding.
Yeah.
You know, I would have liked to see. What does an actual day in the life of Ed Gein look like?
Right.
You know, what is right. where does normal and madness blend with him? You know, right. what? Because that's
like the one scene of him on the tractor. Like, I know I've only watched like 2.5 episodes, but the scene on the tractor where he like starts seeing a few people running by
mm-hmm.
and then he takes off running. That makes sense of that's not reality. But yes. you are so ingrained in it that like that's the schizo part.
Yes.
That's like and that was a good scene. That.
Like,
yes.
Show me, because we walk past people every day in our day-to-day lives and we don't mm-hmm. know what reality looks like to them. So, you know, we see people that are going about their lives. Show me what it looks like when like I can do cold this chills. Normal thing that is like, are you okay?
I just keep like getting cold chills.
Like I can do this normal thing that makes me look like I'm regular, but then it twists into this madness
yes.
when no one's looking.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to see that I didn't see. There was too yeah. much of, oh, look, he's got relationships with these people, but he's soft-spoken and weird. Like, no, no.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's my overall. I'm disappointed, but I see what he was going with.
Yeah. Yeah. Like once I actually finish, I'll let you know, but I agree. Like it's not bad, but it's not the best thing ever. Yeah,
it's if you want accuracy on Ed Gein, you know, look for a documentary, look at something like yeah. that. This is if you want yeah. a fictionalized version of the character, then take this for what it's worth and enjoy it.
Yep.
If you want to know the real history,
yeah,
there's lots of resources out there that give you all the details and everything and can give yes. you
like facts. You can listen to our other episode that we did on Ed Gein
or do that or listen to us if you want to listen to take the truth from us.
Yeah.
Do so with caution.
Do so with caution. Yeah, I don't remember the rest of that episode if there's anything crazy in there. It's been a while. It's been a crazy year.
You know, we know what we know, but there's yes. people that know more.
We're not experts on anything. We're just talking our own personal opinions.
And what we've read and what we've researched.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we'll be comparing this to Dahmer, which by the way, that one I would give Ryan Murphy all the credit in the world for, because that one was done in a very, very good way.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm gonna have to go and finish that one too.
I know. I'm sorry. You're like
no, it's okay.
I don't like the serial killer shit, but she does, so I have to watch it.
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
I just it's been a year.
That's true.
To say the least.
Yes, it has.
So I'm finally feeling more stable that I can do things for myself and get back to the things I enjoy.
Well, we're very glad to have you back.
Yes.
And we will start recording more regularly now. Have you thought about the next episode you want to do?
I keep saying I'm going to do The Good Nurse.
Yeah.
Well, I get to it eventually.
Well, you tell me when. Tell me when you want to record. I'm in.
Soon.
Okay. All right. So that's what we got going on and what we got coming forward. We want to hear from you. If you've watched Monster, the Ed Gein story, by all means, we would love to hear your input on it. If you have future ideas you would like us to discuss, please let us know. Sandra, where can the nice people get a hold of us?
You can find us at themimesispodcast@gmail.com, and you can find us on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram at themimesispodcast.
Thank you. And that brings us to the end. You did. I'm so proud of you. That brings us to the end. So until next time.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Mimesis.
If you enjoy this podcast, by all means, tell your friends about it and give us a review on whatever platform you listen on.
We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks.